Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're the best, we're the beautiful, we're the only Ghostbusters.
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. This is teaser trailer episode, and we are discussing the 1976 horror film, Carrie. My name is Kyle Autry, and joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how's it going, man?
Doing pretty good. I'm glad that we're finally going to talk some Sex in the City.
Yeah, that's not the right movie at all.
Damn it. I keep screwing this one up.
I feel like you really have your mind set on Sex in the City, though. Maybe that just needs to be a future episode.
Well, I will admit, I have seen one episode of Sex in the City. One episode.
Did you like it?
Obviously not, because I haven't seen two episodes.
That's a good point. Yeah, you would come back if you really liked it. Now, when I talked to you a little bit earlier, you said you were watching The Office. I'm curious as to which season you're watching and which episode it was.
I am just made my way into season 5.
Okay.
So we got some Holly action. She just kind of got the boot. So the episode had just started right before we began recording. So I honestly had just seen the cold opening.
Okay. Great. So she's on her way out of the Scranton branch.
Yeah, it's pretty. Michael just bitched out David Walrus for sending her away.
Okay.
Sad times.
Well, it's not going to be too sad because right around the corner, you've got the return of Toby.
Oh, that is this episode. I think that's the episode that I'm about to watch is the return of Toby.
Is this the famous scene where Michael's like, no, no, God, why?
I feel so bad for Toby.
I know.
You know what? You watched the show during its original run. Right?
I did, yeah.
And we were at a certain age and young in our careers and life, and you relate to the characters in a certain way. I don't relate to the characters the same anymore. Like, I really sympathize and empathize with Dwight. I'm like, Jim, you asshole, get to work. But back in my 20s, I was like, Jim, you awesome rock star. Screw everyone.
You know, in real life, though, you're totally Jim. You would be the guy that bullies his other employee and puts his stapler in Jell-O and throws Andy's cell phone in the ceiling so he can hear his little jingle going off.
That was good. Yeah, you got me nailed there.
Yeah, that's totally you. Let's take a second to thank our sponsor, Bunny17 Media, who helps present this podcast completely free to our listeners. Go over to Bunny17 Media, use promo code Back in Time at checkout, and save yourself 15%. While you're on the internet, go ahead and follow us on social media. We're at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, facebook.com/backintimepod. And we are also on the web at backintimepod.wordpress.com. And you can subscribe to every episode of this podcast for free on iTunes. JD, say hello to our new listeners. We grow every single week, and I feel like every once in a while we just need to kind of refresh the new listeners' mind of what exactly the teaser trailer episode is compared to the full episode, which comes out every Wednesday.
Right. Welcome to our weird roller coaster. It gets really weird, especially the later at night we record. Then it's strange. But no, thanks for new listeners and old listeners alike. Teaser trailer breakdown episode is not actually a teaser for the big episode. This is where we look at the trailer for the movie. We break it down and talk about our initial thoughts and reactions, you know, to the movie. We talk about some opening weekend numbers. We talk about critical response, Rotten Tomatoes ratings. Like we get into like the little preamble to the movie itself. So it's a great chance to familiarize yourself with a film that you may not have seen, and then to get reacquainted with something that you may not have seen in a while.
And then the full episode is where we really take a deep dive into the movie, and we'll break it down literally scene by scene, every frame of the movie, and you get to just kind of nerd out with us and relive the thing.
It's like having a Mexican fiesta with like 8 different types of tacos.
Nice. I love that analogy. Now, myself, I'm a chimichanga guy. I like extra beef, light on the lettuce, no, and I mean no, onions on that thing. Put onions on there, I'm going to have to smack you.
If it comes with onions, I send it back. Do you just specifically not like onions, or do you just not like onions with your chimichanga?
I don't like onions at all. So huh. I will freak out. If it comes like on a burger, even if I have to pick it off, I'm like, I can still taste it.
Do you like onion powder?
I actually do. That's weird.
Have you ever snorted onion powder?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No, well, neither. No. Goodness, no. But maybe that's your problem. Maybe you need to.
Do a line of onion powder?
Exactly.
Maybe I just cut an onion like in the little slivers. I just snort the whole onion.
On a totally unrelated note, but making perfect sense of the conversation, supposedly if you take a shot of vodka and then you sniff a red onion, okay, there's no bite.
Whew. Well, then you get all sorts of drunk.
Well, yeah, it's an Eastern European thing.
Okay.
So I'm told.
I love Italy. Let's get into some first memories of Carrie here. For me, I talked about this on the last episode with Big Lebowski, I've actually never sat down and watched this entire movie. I know. Shame on me. Tweet me your hate. KAutry29. JD, for you, when's the first time you remember seeing Carrie?
It had to have been probably high school and probably on USA Up All Night.
Ooh, yeah.
Nice. Late night, Saturday night, you know, with the commercial segments were just as long as the segments of the movie, and then Gilbert Gottfried came out, and he didn't ask that a thing. Was that good or bad? I don't know if that was good
that
or
was
bad.
That wasn't a terrible one.
Okay, I've never done it before. It was a spontaneous. Yeah,
you have to squint really hard. It's almost like if you had a, not to be gross here, but if you had to pinch one off in the toilet, you're having a hard time getting it out like as hard as you can. And then do the accent, you'll nail it.
See, I don't think that's gross. I think if you said, like, if you had to pinch one off in a chimney, then that would be gross.
Okay. That'd be an odd place to do it. Here's a question I have for you. I don't feel like Carrie is regarded the same way that a Halloween is, or Friday the 13th, or any of those big franchises, Nightmare on Elm Street. What's the disconnect here? Because Carrie kind of started it all. This is before Halloween. And it's also the first Stephen King novel that ever got turned into a movie.
I think that for when it came out in 1976, so we're talking a mid-70s movie, you know, cinematically, it's going to be different than a late 70s movie, an early 80s movie. And then when the slasher genre just took off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of differences in just the way movies were made, movies were shot. I mean, comparatively, if you look at how Ty West made House of the Devil, and it had all of those like mid-70s vibes and feel to it, and that movie didn't necessarily perform too well.
Sure did.
But I don't know. I mean, our fans, our audience, you guys voted for it, so I'm thinking maybe it might be more beloved than you think.
Yeah. Yeah, that could very well be the case. I'm interested to see how it's held up. I'm looking forward to really diving into the movie. Probably going to start watching it tonight here. Let's go ahead and fire up the trailer here, though. I want to dive into this teaser trailer, take a look at the original 1976 flick here. So if you have access to get online right now, head over to YouTube, and all you have to do is type in Carrie 1976 original trailer. Hit your search button. Should be the very first video that pops up by Scream Factory TV. It's got about 157,000 views on it. And then I'll give us a 3, 2, 1 click countdown. And we will click at the same time and watch this thing together. Of course, if you're driving, don't you even think about doing that. We need you guys to continue listening to the show. just wait till you get someplace to take a look at it. You can always come back. JD, are you ready on your end?
Yeah, I was going to make a gas station bathroom joke based off of the driving, but I won't.
Okay.
Let's just watch the trailer. Just screw it. Let's watch the trailer. Let's do it.
3, 2, 1, click.
It's the night of the senior prom. The Bates High School gym is alive with excitement. Everybody is there, even Carrie White, the girl no one likes.
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
And everyone makes fun of her.
Free, Carrie! Free, Carrie!
The girl who lives in that creepy house with her crazy mother.
Any woman see the sin of her days and ways. Show her that if she had remained sinless, the curse of blood would never have come on her.
The girl with the strange power.
If I concentrate hard enough, I can move things.
But tonight, no one will laugh at Carrie.
If you don't have a date for the prom next Friday, would you like to go with me?
She's with the best-looking boy in the senior class.
He's trying to trick me again.
She'll be voted queen of the prom.
You know, I can make sure that you don't hurt Carrie White anymore. Yay!
For Carrie, it will be a dream come true. For everyone else, it will be a nightmare. Carrie. A new film by Brian De Palma. Based on the chilling bestseller. Starring Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, and introducing John Travolta in his first motion picture role. If you have a taste for terror, you have a date with Carrie.
All right, JD, I'll let you go first. What did you what'd you think of the trailer here?
Okay, I miss the way that they used to do trailers, where the trailer told a story, didn't just give every single effing detail away, but it was a narrative to make you want to see the whole enchilada. It's Mexican food night, apparently.
Yeah, definitely.
One, I didn't realize, nor did I remember, that T-Volt, John Travolta, was in this?
Butt chin.
I feel stupid for like being like surprised and amazed and being like, holy moly. And he looked good, right?
As good as John Travolta can look. I mean, anytime I see that chin though, all I can think of is that thing could hold at least half a cup of salsa. Hey, Mexican night, right? but no, I thought that was cool how they introduce him. I didn't know that he would be such a big deal in 76. So that's cool that they have that for him in that movie. And I know in later years, they've actually put him on the title of the DVDs and Blu-rays to try to sell more DVDs. Apparently, he's a huge name. Sissy Spacek, I recognize from a lot of stuff. She's been around forever since I've been watching movies. She's 27 in this movie playing a high school girl, but she looks really young. I mean, you could have fooled me, and if you would have said she's 17 in this and not 27, I'd go, yeah, I believe that. Did you think she looked pretty young?
Yeah, she definitely looks the part. She's that scrawny little gangly. She looks like a 1970s high school student for sure. Like, if you hadn't said that, I would have thought she was between 13 and 19.
Yeah. Yeah, she does look that young. Crazy. So, yeah, I would say if I'm putting myself in a movie theater in 1976 and I see the preview for this pop up, I'm on my way to go see that thing next month. That would have been really cool, especially at that time when, you know, there weren't a ton of like horror movies that were mainstream. I mean, it'd been a while since the Hitchcock stuff, right?
Oh yeah. Horror's, you know, notoriously goes with its ebbs and flows.
Let's dive into some box office numbers here. Unfortunately, this isn't going to be like the normal numbers that we usually do for the film. I don't know if they just didn't track it for this particular movie or if it's because of the year that it came out. but I unfortunately don't have a top 10, and I don't have like a week-by-week breakdown like we normally do, so my apologies for that if that's something you look forward to. So Carrie debuted at the box office November 3rd, 1976. It would gross domestically $33.8 million at the box office with no international sales, and it was on a budget of just $1.8 million. So not only did they recoup their budget, but they did it times 30. So this was a pretty big hit. Now, JD, does that number surprise you at all? Because this is the 70s. So, I mean, $33 million, I mean, that'd be at least 100 in today's market with inflation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of guacamole.
Additionally, outside of box office, they did earn $14.5 million in theater rentals by January of 1978. So if you factor that into the box office numbers, now we're closer to $48 million between theater and rentals. So they would have a later VHS release and DVD sets. And again, like I mentioned, in later years, they would include John Travolta's name alongside Sissy Spacek. Although Travolta really only has a minor supporting role in the film, but his name's featured only due to his high-profile career following Carrie. Are you surprised at all that they did not rush out a sequel for Carrie?
You know what? I don't know. Being that I feel like I'm unfamiliar with the story from, you know, not yet watching it again.
Yeah.
I would say based solely on box office that I'm surprised, but I wonder, I honestly don't remember, like, how is it open for a sequel?
I never read the book from Stephen King for Carrie, so I would assume, like most of his books, there's probably not a lot of room for the story to continue. I think he usually does a pretty good job of finalization to the story. You know, thinking back to other movies that I've watched of his that have been turned into pictures. So I would assume they just weren't able to do it. Now, if it was today's market, they would just make up a new story and they'd go, okay, here's part two. And they'd hire Hollywood writers and they'd go forward with the sequel.
Right. I agree with you 100%. And I almost wish that they would finally come out with a sequel to Thinner.
Maybe he gets fatter.
Maybe he gets shorter.
Yeah. Thinner and shorter.
Then he just winds up as George Costanza.
Nice. So we don't have any top 10 movies at the box office for this week, but we do have some critic and audience response, and we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response of the audience and the critics here. Just to confirm, of course, I have not sent these numbers to JD prior, and he's going to try and guess here how the movie was received. So, JD, let's start with the critics here. How do you think the critics responded to Carrie?
I got to say, I'm just firing blanks here. I want to say that it had a modest or, you know, a low budget, had performed well in the box office. We know it becomes a cult classic movie. We know that it's well regarded. Beginning of Stephen King's beginning of Stephen King books being turned into movies. So I'm assuming that there was a decent amount of excitement. And I feel like critics responded positively to that. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I want to say 83%, but I have zero confidence in myself.
How about the audience response?
I feel the same sort of mindset applies to the audience. I mean, we know that the audience came out. We know that the box office, we know that they made money. And we know that it's done well over the air. So I'm just going to be generic and say 83% because I really have no other, I've got no other rooster in this fight.
So the critic response was 93% certified fresh. So you weren't too far off. And the audience response was 76%, which is just barely certified fresh. I'm surprised that I don't think we see this very often with horror movies where the critics respond more positively than the audience, especially for a film that has lasted over the years. Are you surprised at all by that?
I mean, I don't think my guesses weren't too far off. I was in the middle for both. So yeah. I'm not like super duper surprised. I'm more shocked that the critic response was so high. I mean, that's a high number.
Yeah.
And given and knowing that audiences, especially nowadays, like really look into what the critics say about a movie, for there to be like that level of a discrepancy between a 90% and then, you know, in the 70s, like that's what's surprising to me. I would have thought that the audience would be more like magnetized to the critic response and it would have been higher, given that the critic's response was so high.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I love this part of the teaser trailer because I find it interesting listening to you kind of break it down in your head and then kind of solving this puzzle without actually knowing what the responses are or me sending you anything. I love that part. You've been dead on for like 4 weeks in a row. And I look forward to the episode where you're way off and I can totally take back everything nice I just said about you.
No, it's such a, I do like, I get so nervous when we do this segment, but it's so much fun to take data and to analyze it and try to make some sort of like predictive ROI from it. It's just like any, you know, professional corporate marketing. It's what the studios do. It's how they decide what to come out and when to release it. It's based solely on them looking at numbers and words and facts and trying to turn it into like a discernible sentence. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. This should be like a career for you. They just bring you in there like, what do you think, man? Just let you ramble and give a number. Okay, thank you. Here's your check. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Hey-o.
Now, let's hear from the critics here. Our old buddy, Raj Ebert, who's a young pup at this time, of the Chicago Sun-Times, stated the film was absolutely spellbinding for a horror movie, as well as an observant human portrait. He gave it 3.5 stars out of 4. Any thoughts on Roger?
We've come to blows with him in the past over his reviews and movies that we've loved. I'm going to take his word for it on this, though. I mean, I want to watch Carrie again. It's probably been a good 20, 25 years maybe for me. I have no idea. I seriously don't. I remember watching it, but I just don't remember when. It could have been 5. It could have been 15. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I want to watch it with spellbinding goggles on.
Pauline Kael of The New Yorker stated, Carrie was the best scary, funny movie since Jaws, a teasing, terrifying, lyrical shocker. What do you think about the response from The New Yorker?
So I'm call it scary and funny and comparing it to Jaws. But at the same time, I mean, it throws me off because it's comparing it to Jaws because it's 1976 and, you know, 30 years of movies later had not yet existed for them to compare it to.
Mm. That's a good point. Which part of Jaws was funny?
I laughed when the guy got scared and sort of fell backwards into the boat a little bit. That was kind of funny.
But yeah, when they go out on sea and they get drunk and they're down in the cabin, that part's funny, but I mean, the rest of the time they're literally getting chased by a shark. It's really not that humorous.
Yeah, but you have to remember, in the 1970s, whoopee cushions were funny. Like, that was the apex of humor. Like, dude, let's burn this kid bad. Put a fart-making balloon pillow under his butt.
I'm sorry. If you don't like balloon pillows, fuck you. All right? Because those are still funny. I don't care.
Have you ever had a successful whoopee cushion, like, deployment?
No.
Has that ever actually?
No.
I haven't either.
No, you would just sit on it. It would go like, and then you'd have to like wiggle for it to do the rest of it.
But yeah.
Sat on it perfectly where it was just like.
No. And then you would then be like, okay, well, I'm obligated now to real fart.
In which I would clear the room out if that happened. I've got one more. Take One magazine critic Susan Scheniker said, she was angry at the way Carrie manipulated me to the point where my heart was thudding and embarrassed because the film really works. What do you think about our last critic here?
I think that's a bold interpretation for her to be like frustrated because of that. And I think, I don't know, that's kind of an exciting review. I think a movie is successful if it can make you have that kind of reaction where you're on the edge of your seat. And it doesn't matter if it's a horror movie, a comedy movie, a drama movie, like you can enjoy all the aspects of humanity and you can be frustrated and want to see people murdered, or you want to see people succeed. And I don't know. I think that's an underrated aspect of a successful horror slash thriller movie.
Is that the definition of spellbinding? I've never really quite understood that one.
I think we'll have to wait till we review Hocus Pocus before we learn that proper definition.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. So when we get into the full episode, which is going to drop right here on Wednesday, subscribe on iTunes, shameless plug. What do you look forward to most when we get into the full episode?
I'm looking forward to being spellbound, mother effer.
Because I'm a huge Stephen King fan, I'm looking forward to watching, in my opinion, basically a new Stephen King movie since I've never watched it. And I'm interested to see how his first movie was put into to film. I'm sorry, I was looking forward to his first book being put in the film here. And so, checking out early John Travolta, too.
Total side note, what is your favorite Stephen King movie then?
That's a great question, and I'm going to answer that with Stand By Me.
Okay. Cool. Cool beans.
But how about you?
Thinner. Obviously, it's Thinner.
Really? That's the best one?
I didn't say best, I said favorite.
Okay.
I find Thinner to hilarious. Like, that movie is so funny. They got the gypsies running around. We got this fat lawyer in his fat suit hitting people with his car. And he's just all shuffling around. He's like, I'm getting thinner. Oh, my life sucks. And then it's got an ironic ending.
Yeah.
I don't know. I read that book when I was really young, and I was super excited when I saw it. It was probably one of the first Stephen King books that I read. And then I saw the movie, and for me, that movie just always stands out. I also like Tommyknockers.
Okay. Yeah, it might be a poll topic for a future episode. Thinner, Tommyknockers, and two other random ones. We'll put it together. So we will be back on Wednesday with the full episode. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. All full episodes are up in our archives. Remember to rate, review as well. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Everything's at Back in Time Pod. And if you're old school, you can shoot us some mail over at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. Send us a good old-fashioned email. And if it doesn't start with to whom it may concern, I'm not reading it. So make sure you make it proper. You can also support our sponsor over at Bunny17 Media. Back in Time is the code at checkout that saves you 15%. And we will be back next Monday with another teaser trailer. And we're getting into The Terminator. I'll be back. That's a terrible Terminator. I've got a week to work on it. I'll get it right. But for now, it is time to climb back into the DeLorean. We're going to punch in today's date and return back to present day. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. We're out of here.
Add a little bit of chorizo to your breakfast hash, and it's delicious.